I've been doing a lot of like self-reflection lately, as far as like where am I at in life, where am I at in my spiritual life, where am I at as a dad, as a husband, as a son, as a friend. And when you start to reflect, and you start to realize how jacked up you are, you know, I'm not saying you, like myself, and then you start to, you want to prioritize, you want to put things in perspective, like what's really important in life. I see Andy, she's 5 years old, she's going to be 6 in March, Isaac's going to be 4 in next May. It's crazy, you know, and I start to think like, man, where did these years go? And sometimes like I beat myself up. Does anybody ever beat themselves up like man, I should have done this or I should have done that? But listen, don't beat yourself up. God is a redeemer of time. So I think, you know what, I'm just going to enjoy my kids now. Like somebody has to work, right? Like we're blessed that my wife gets to stay home and hang out with them, because that's where women belong. No, I'm just kidding. No, that's just, that was a joke. I'm kidding. Somebody said amen really loud to that. No. I said someone said, not say amen to that. No. That's like false doctrine, brothers. No, listen, I told Chanel, like, if she made the money and I had to stay home and take care of the kids, I would gladly do it, you know? Mr. Mom, yeah, I'll do it. Hey, listen, as I was studying this week, and like I said, I've been reading, just really trying to work on myself, because that's how the world gets better, when you work on yourself. That's how church gets better, when you work on yourself. That's how marriages and friendships and relationships get better, when you work on yourself. You stop focusing so much on the other person, but you start focusing on yourself. Amen. So I'm really just going to speak from my heart today of what God is doing in my life. And I hope that God speaks to you, and maybe you'll want to reflect on yourself. So the Holy Spirit asked me a question this week, and he said, I wrote it down. Are you hindering relationships in your life? Are you blocking like love in your life? Like, do you know why people sometimes don't like you? Like, the Holy Spirit could be straight up. Or why don't you like other people? As Christians, we should walk in love, right? But it's hard to walk in love. Can anybody agree with that? Like, it's easy to walk in love with people that you like, and people that are like, kind of like have the same mentality and mindset as you. But what about those people that are a little different? They're wired a little different. God made them different. What about them? Honestly, like, I'm very easily annoyed. Ask my wife. Is anybody else easily annoyed? And guess what? I don't invite people that I'm easily annoyed with to my house, because I like my house to be like annoyance free, right? But listen, why should I be like that? I'm a pastor in a church. I'm a dad. I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus. Was Jesus easily offended or easily annoyed by people? People were around him all the time. Yet he walked in love. Yet he walked in truth. So why can I tell someone, listen, brother, you're annoying me a little bit, but I love you. And this is why maybe I need to help someone out. Right? Maybe they're doing things that are blocking love and relationships from their life. And because I'm walking in annoyance and not in truth and love, then I'm hindering them from being all they can be in life with God and with people. Amen? So I started to read in 1 Corinthians, and we're going to go there. But listen, we're going to read this really really quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And this is a chapter of love. Everybody say the chapter of love. If you have your Bibles, please go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 11. And it says, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding like a clanging. I was going to have Israel stay up here and just hit the cymbals like, I love you. Shh. You know how annoying cymbals by themselves can be? Very annoying. They're beautiful instruments when they're playing in harmony with other instruments. And it continues to say, verse 2, it says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge. Listen, imagine you have the gift of the prophetic and you speak to people about what they've been through and what God wants to do in their life, but yet you walk away from this platform or from wherever you're flowing in that ministry and you're walking annoyed with people and you're walking not in love with people and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. Listen, this is such a powerful word, because you could have everything and have nothing at the same time. See, I could sit there and listen to Pastor Joel, Pastor Shayla, guest speakers come, and I could just be hating on, oh yeah, well, I could have spoke better than them. People do that all the time. Oh, I like those shoes, but they look way better on me. Oh, I like those pants, but they look way better. If you're sitting there criticizing every time someone comes and speaks and says, well, they're not as good as this person, or they're not as good as this person. Listen, I don't care if you have the prophetic on you. I don't care if you have the gift of faith or the gift of healing. Listen, the Bible says, not me, the Bible says that you are nothing. You have nothing. You still go home feeling miserable because you're just hating all the time. Verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods, that means like, although I could make millions of dollars and give it to the poor and give it to, you know, like these rich people from Hollywood, they go to Africa and they build wells and they feed the poor and they feed the sick and they help them out. But I keep stepping on you, sister. You keep stepping on me. No, I'm just kidding. No. Go back to verse 3. And though I give my body to be burned, but I have no love, it profits me nothing. Verse 4. Look, love, it suffers long. It's kind. Love does not envy. What does envy mean? See, I got to stop and talk to the young people, because I used to go to church and they say big words and I'd be like, what does that mean? And then I just, all right, whatever. The preacher said it. So it's, envy is like when you're kind of hating, like, man, I like that, but I wish I had that. Oh, Pastor Isaac has a beautiful wife, man. I wish she was mine. Hey, you better not say that. If you have a dream like that, you better wake up and apologize. Love does not parade itself. What does that mean? Love doesn't walk around, look at me, guys, I'm loving everybody. Look, guys, I'm loving everyone. Look, I'm giving up money to the poor. Look, I'm, it doesn't parade itself. It's not puffed up. Verse 5. Love does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked. It thinks no evil. Listen, yesterday I was at work and I was talking to a witness that it took me a really long time to get him to the station to speak to him. Gangsters don't like being around police. But this gangster came because he probably saw the favor of God on my life. So I'm standing there talking to him, and he's like real uncomfortable. He's like looking at my gun, and I'm like, yeah, you want to touch it, bro? Like, you know? And we're talking, and then this lady, there's like these glass doors. I'm brand new to this division, so I don't even know how doors go out like this. I look dumb, like I go open them like this, and they're not opening, and then you have to push it, you know? So this lady's like trying to come out, but I'm standing with this guy. Like, say the doors are right here and they open out. We're standing here, and outside the doors it says, do not open these doors. So I'm thinking, we're not supposed to open these doors. So nobody's supposed to go in or out. So I'm talking to him, and this lady's like on her phone. She works there. And she's like, looks at me, gives me like her little stank eye. And then I look at her, and then I just kind of ignore her because I'm talking to this guy. And then she finally like pushes the door, and she's like, I was trying to get out. I was like, well, you didn't say anything. Was I rude? Maybe I was. She thought I was. Because she wouldn't go rat me out. She went to my boss. Like, she took her time to go look for me. Don't put this on the podcast because then if she hears it, she's going to. Well, she don't know who I am. Or she don't know, you know. So she goes and finds my boss and says, that guy over there. I saw her pointing at me too. That guy over there. Like, he was very rude, blah, blah, blah. So my boss calls me outside. He's like, what happened? What happened? He's like, I was talking to her, and I was like, that guy over there? Nah, that guy over there. So he kind of like just swept it under the rug. And last night I got home and I was telling my wife about this, and I was sharing some scripture with her of how God was speaking to me. So I was like, you know what? Tomorrow morning I'm going to go find her and I'm going to apologize. But I got to work and then I got busy. And then I got pulled into like the lieutenant's office with this lady. And he was like mad, like, what happened yesterday? I was like, nothing. So then she came in and I said, you know what, ma'am? If I was rude yesterday, I'm sorry. I said, as a guy, I can speak for myself, but sometimes I do things to my wife and I don't even know, like, I was mean. And then she, like, my wife would be sitting there like kind of mad, like, and I'm like, what's wrong with you? Well, you said this or you said that. I had no idea that she was upset. Does that make sense? Guys, you guys understand what I'm saying? So I apologized to her and I was like, ma'am, you know what, I'm so sorry. I walked in love. So then I'm like, can we just start all over again? Hi, my name's Isaac. What's your name? Oh, my name's... If you're not from the hood, gangsters say, instead of saying something, they say, you know, I was over there hanging out. This is like, some of you got it. So I said, you know what? I said, can I give you a hug? And she said, yeah. But see, like, I'm walking in love. If she really didn't forgive me, she would have been like, nah, don't touch me. But she said, yeah. She's an older lady, so I gave her a hug. I'm so sorry. I could have been like, you know what? I'm not going to say sorry to her. She should say sorry to me. But is that me walking in love? See, walking in love, you have to humble yourself. Even if you got to kind of fall on the sword or bite the bullet. But sometimes we're so prideful that we just walk around all prideful and people don't like us. Amen? See, love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures. Everybody say all. When your mom made you upset, hey, love endures all things. When your brother or your sister, you know, upset you, love endures all things. At school, when people are talking trash about you and you're like, well, I haven't even done anything. Listen, love endures all things. You think Jesus didn't feel like getting off the cross and slaying everybody? You don't think he had the power to kill everybody at his name? I mean, at his word? Yet his love for us was so great that he hung on the cross and he endured all things. Verse 8. Man, see how the music makes it more, like, dramatic, you know? Thanks, Joe. Love never fails. Everybody say that. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, listen, they will what? Fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. This will be another teaching. Let Pastor Paul teach us right here. But when that which is perfect has come, guess when that is? When we're raised to meet Jesus. When we're face to face with him. Either he comes for his church or you and I pass away and we get to see him. When that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. Now listen, verse 11. This is when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. This is where God wants to speak to many of you, and He's speaking to me. There's certain areas in our lives where we're thinking as kids, we're speaking as kids. I'm talking about immaturity. We're processing things as things, but God is saying, grow up. Grow up. Grow up. Listen, I wrote some really cool stuff down. Listen, we need to test our areas of our lives on how we think, how we speak, and how we reason, how we process things. If your life is not reaching a certain expectation that you have for your life, you got to test it with this scripture. Am I grown up in this area? Does that make sense? Is it the way you speak? Is it the way you think? Or the way you reason stopping you from what God has for your life? Listen, is it the way you're speaking, thinking, or reasoning stopping God's plans for your life? Because see, the thing is, it really falls on us, guys. It really falls on us because God already provided a way. How many people spend more than 30 minutes getting ready? Girls, come on. Guys, if you're raising your hand, we're going to pray for you right now. There's some people that spend a lot of time getting ready and looking good, looking pretty. I'm not against getting ready, really. But how is it that sometimes somebody that is not as good looking as you is a lot more happier than you? It's because the way they think, the way they speak, and the way they reason. They see life joy, with joy. They see life with, like, man, no drama. I got some of the, I call them beautiful, but the world, this world, magazines, Cosmo or Vanity or all these, they wouldn't see them as beautiful people, yet they're the happiest people. I've told you guys this before. When people take photos on Instagram, they're not taking pictures of their lowlights. It's all their highlights. They're not taking pictures of, like, when they're feeling sad and depressed and anxious. They're like, you know, listen, is this a fad? Is this a trend? People that try to look good or be famous take the same pictures with other where other pretty and famous people take pictures at. I'm going to go eat at Earth Cafe, and people take pictures at Earth Cafe. You pay $10 for an egg and a sausage and a bread, you know? Why? Just to take a picture with that stuff. You know? But really, think of all the people that have, I mean, it's sad, but all the people that have, all these nice looking people that have committed suicide because they're miserable inside. It's sad. God had a plan for their life, but they had a plan of their own. You know? Hey, you may be looking fine, but you're miserable. I'm not speaking about you. I'm speaking about anybody. Girls, your eyebrows look all nice and happy, but inside you look bad. Inside. The Bible talks about some people that it says, Paul, if you could remind me so they could put it up, that it says outside they look like grassy, flowery areas, but inside it's like dead man's bones. Huh? Whitewashed tombs. Imagine that. You look real good in the outside, but inside it's like rotten. I'm not saying, like I said, I'm preaching to myself because there's areas that are like that in my life. Does that make sense? We challenge God and say, God, why is my hair like this? Or why am I this short? Or why am I this tall? Like, let's challenge ourselves on how we think. Amen? Let's challenge on how we speak, on how we reason stuff. See, the thing is, As people, guys, everybody say as people. I don't care if you're 10 years old or you're 50 years old. We like to like hold on to like dysfunction in our life sometimes. We like to hold on to things that don't work because it's ours, you know? And you're like, dude, come on, like, we want to help you be better. No, this is mine. Like, you do it your way, this is my way. See that we need to walk in love, guys. We need to start growing up. Everybody say grow up. Now listen, I'm almost done. And I was asking God, how are we going to connect today? Like, what do we have to do to grow up? Tell the person next to you, this is what you need to do to grow up. And we're going to go to Romans 13. And I was sharing this with my wife last night. Romans 13, verses 11 through 14. It says, look, and everybody say, and do this. Tell your neighbor, and do this. Listen, can I have this in NLT? Is that something we could do quickly? We'll try to end early because Whittier Boulevard is going to be popping to the Dodgers one. You're going to be throwing fireworks and hopefully they don't riot. You saw St. Louis smash on the Braves. Terrible. We got it? Oh, come on, man. I don't love you guys anymore. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Listen. Listen up. We're almost done. And do this. Tell your neighbor, do this. Knowing the time. Listen, guys. Knowing the time. Not that it's 8 o'clock p.m. Knowing the time that we're living in. Knowing that Jesus is coming back for his church soon. Knowing that the end is near. Knowing that maybe we won't live another day to breathe. I know it's like, oh, why do you talk about that in church? Listen, guys, let me give you guys some reality. I was just at the coroner's office the other day. There were old people that died of natural causes. There was young babies. It was sad. And I was just like, God, like, man, protect my kids. Like, you have a plan for them. They're going to fulfill it. But see, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. God comes to give life and life abundance. So stay in the house. This is where you belong. Amen? Look, knowing the time that now it is what? High time to what? Wake out of your sleep. Listen, wake out of your sleep. I was telling the church on Sunday at Esperanza, like, last week I was just praying, and I God put, like, a brand new, like, just like a fire inside of me to serve him like I've never served him before, to love him like I've never loved him before, to love on people like I've never loved on people before. Young people, wake up. Young people, wake up. It's time to grow up. I know, I'm only 12, I'm only 13. Listen, God doesn't look at age. He looks at your heart. It says, look, for now our salvation is nearer than we were than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Ooh, that was a nice one. Therefore, look, let us, everybody say, cast off. Say, cast off the works of darkness. And let us put on the armor of what? Of light. Let us walk properly as in the day. When during the day you don't see people like going out to clubs and partying it up. I mean, sometimes they do, but really, and during the day when everybody's watching, this is what it really means. When everybody's watching, you're not, you know, hiding behind closed doors doing sneaky things. See, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. But look, here's the key, guys. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody say, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody say, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Look, I love how Paul puts Lord before Jesus Christ. Because what does Lord mean? Come on, I'm asking you guys. Young people, what does Lord mean? When you call Jesus Lord, what are you saying? Lord Jesus Lord, my decision maker, Jesus. Jesus, my driver. Jesus, my master. Jesus, my decision maker. It's no longer me that's making decisions, but it's you making decisions for me. It's no longer me driving my life, but it's you driving my life. See, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. When you put on the Lord, you put on light, you put on love, you put on righteousness, you put on justice. And look, and make no, everybody say make no provision. What does provision mean? Paul, give me an easy word for provision. Huh? No opportunity, no space for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Listen, Paul also writes, the lust of what? The eye, the lust of what? The flesh, and the pride of life. Comes down to three things: the eye, the flesh, and the pride. Listen, guys, young people, you know what? I was so blessed on Sunday. I was, she won't care. I was invited to get my hair cut at a place in Montebello by a young lady that comes to this church. And I was getting my hair cut, and then the girl, I don't know this girl, like I've met her for the first time, but I was introduced by this young lady who comes to this church, to this girl who's going to hook me up with a haircut. I get a haircut in the hood usually, but I was already like kind of tired of getting it. I was getting bit by the fleas, and it was in the backyard of like some mama's house, you know. So I go, and she starts getting my, she's like, "Oh, you're a pastor," and I'm like, "Wow, this girl told her what I did." And she starts cutting my hair, and she's like, "Yeah, this girl's been inviting us to church," and this young girl, man, I'm so proud of her because she like radically got saved, and she's radically following Jesus. I used to see her old posts, and now I see her new posts. Man, her new posts are all about Jesus and how God loves her and God loves you. And see, it's changing her from the inside out. There's light coming out of her when maybe before not so much light was coming out. Not that I was watching how much light was. Only you're the judge of your own light. Amen. But see, when God transforms you, when you put on God, when you put on Jesus, when you put on the armor of light, when you put on this coat of light, your life is going to start to change. The way you speak is going to start to change. Your loving on people is going to start to change. How you love on your family, your parents is going to start to change. And then all of a sudden, people are going to say, "You know what? I want to come to their church because I see a difference in them." I have friends that will never step in a church because they say, "Well, Christians are hypocrites, Christians are this, there's too many rules." But listen, when you walk in the light, as He is in the light, man, people want, they just want that. I used to tell my wife this all the time, and I'm done with this. Is it 8 or is it later than 8? Well, it's 8. She'd be like, I'll put her stuff on blast because this is old Chanel. Chanel was really unsaved. And she used to go party with her friends. And then when she started coming to church, she would be like, "Well, I'm going to go out, but I'm not going to drink. I'm only going to be their designated driver." Oh, how nice you are, you know? I'd be like, "Listen, girl, your friends don't need another friend to get drunk with. Your friends need someone to come to when they're broken." And I remember one day, it was a Saturday night, her friends went out and she stayed home. And her friend called her crying. Remember that? I think her man had broken up with her or something. You guys looking for Chanel? She's back there. And I'm like, "This is your opportunity, girl. Tell her to come to church." And her friend was like, "Oh, I can't go to church, man. I'm hungover." I'm like, "Who cares? Just come to church." And I remember her friend sitting in the front row. She's looking all hungover. Huh? Her eyes were red, and she was just like, look like, man, she just wanted some water. But listen, she heard the word of God. that seed, although this girl was coming to church for a long time, her dad started coming to church, like her whole family started being touched by God. Maybe she's not coming to church right now, but listen, the seed that was planted in her heart, I believe that it's going to give much fruit. So listen, if you bring your friends and they come once or twice and they stop coming, listen, believe that the seed that was planted in their hearts will give much fruit. And start to pray, Lord, I pray that the seed that was planted in their life will give much fruit. And listen, God's word will never return void. It will never return empty. It will always come back. But you have to hold the line. You have to hold the line. People are watching you. Man, I wonder how long it's going to take for them to go back to the old ways. People are watching you. But when you're consistent, everybody say consistency. And people say, man, they're the real deal. They're the real deal. Amen. Did you guys learn something tonight? Did you guys learn something tonight? See, listen, the enemy is not fighting for where you are right now. The enemy is fighting you so hard because he knows where you're going to go. Amen? Listen, if he's attacking you right now, you remind him, listen, if you only knew where I was going. If you only knew where I was, where you could have been, devil. He's just mad because he didn't get there. He rebelled and he became prideful. If the devil would have submitted to God, man, he was a strong dude. But no, he wanted to walk in hatred, not in love. Amen. You guys ready to pray for a little bit? Listen, just close your eyes. We could shut off the lights for a little bit. I feel like these lights are hot, but they're not. They're LEDs. If God has spoken to you tonight, if you feel like anything that was shared tonight was for you, listen, it was for me too. I just want you to stand up. Just where you are, just stand up. Amen. And I'm going to pray with you guys. Father, I thank you for every humble heart that stood up right now. I thank you, Lord, for speaking to us, for loving us, for encouraging us, for hugging us with one arm and giving us a slap with the other. That's what a good father does. Corrects. Brings correction. I pray, Lord, that we could just continue to walk in the light as you are in the light. I pray that we continue to walk in love. Lord, if there's any area in our life that needs to be cleaned up, Father, help us. Help us. Help us. Listen, if there's an area in your life that you need to clean out, like you need to clean out your closet in a certain area in your life, do it sooner than later. God, I say now is the time. Father, if we've sinned against you, we repent. If we've walked an offense or if we've hurt anyone, Father, forgive us. If we've hurt you, Lord, forgive us. Lord, we want to be righteous. We want to be in right standing with you, and we can do that because of Jesus. We can do that because of Jesus. We thank you so much for your Son. Holy Spirit, thank you for being our comforter, Lord. We thank you so much.